How you doing? Jeez, it's so good to see you this evening. My goodness, just look around. This is bigger than most churches. Really, I'm telling you, God, you're so good. God, you're so good. You know what, friends? We've got nothing in common but Jesus. Nothing. Think of this, that video that you've just seen. That video. It was done because God's got you in mind. How beautiful is that, eh? Yaku, to see you again, buddy. Wonderful. Great. So, Clint, I've only got until 8:30, you say, eh? Okay. I'll be brief. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your kindness over us. You in heaven, we on earth. This is your word, King. Would you make it alive within us today in Jesus' name? Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Bless you, friends. I've got the incredible privilege of sharing on water baptism and salvation, or believer's baptism and salvation. So if you look at your booklets, that's higher grade. That's for the BTH degree students that does their master's. I'm not going to go there tonight, but that is for you to go and do further study. So I'm going to try tonight. There's three, maybe more, but three different kinds of people tonight, yeah? Maybe you are just someone that's looking in. You're drawn to 3CI, but you don't know why. You haven't met Jesus yet. You just love this bunch of oaks. You're drawn, yeah, you don't know why. Maybe you got saved in another church, serving Jesus for a couple of years, and you just come, yeah? And maybe you one of those BTH students that knows this Bible inside out. So please give me some grace tonight. I'm just going to share with you as plain and simple as I can the gospel of Jesus. Like Clint said, the good news. The gospel is not complicated, friends. The gospel is simple. So I want to start off by saying this. As a pastor, I've got the privilege of doing a lot of weddings. But I also have the privilege of doing a lot of memorial services and funerals. And as I read God's word, there's one guy in the Bible that I've met that did more memorial services and funerals than anybody else that I've ever met or ever read about. Anybody wants to guess who that was? Moses. None of the guys that left Egypt went into the promised land. That's between 2 and 3 million Jews, Israelites. It's between 200 and 250 funerals a day, friends. Sheesh. Thank goodness we're staying in Pretoria East and not in the desert. What does Moses say? We're going to look at his Psalm 90 that he wrote. The crux is this. Life is short. Eternity is long.
Beautiful.
Life is short, friends. If anybody else says this, I'll think twice, but because Moses said it, I'll listen. He says this in Psalm 90, verse 1. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Point number one, just make Jesus your dwelling place. Make Jesus your dwelling place. If Moses made him his dwelling place, you and I can't do without it. You and I can't. Then it says this. Verse 4, 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night, like a day. It's just gone by. Verse 10, our days may come to 70 years or 80 if we're strong, okay, if our strength endures. So if we're strong, most of the memorial services that I've done over the last 10 years, a lot of those were below 60. So the Bible says 70 years. If you make 80, you're quite strong. I know these guys at 90 and 100, etc. But you know what?
If we, you'll be a 150.
Oh, she's no Clint. Clint. But let me say this, friends. Let me say this. The Bible says this. God says, let's do the math right. We got to get the math right to understand this. 1,000 years, in God's eyes, like one day. No, actually a bit shorter, like a watch in the night. How long is a watch in the night? 3-4 hours. So if we do the calculations in light of 1,000 years is like one day, is like a watch in the night, and do the calculation, the equation is we on earth for 14 minutes and 40 seconds. Jeez, I've just spoken 4 minutes. We've got 10 minutes left. Does it make sense, friends? Life is short. What Moses is actually saying is, we think we have got this, but actually you've got a watch in the night. No. You've actually got shorter, because a watch in the night is 1,000 years. You don't even have 1,000 years. You've got 70, 80 if you're strong, 14 minutes. Jeez, friends, you know what? Why do I share that? Because 14 minutes can determine eternity. How long's eternity? Well, how long's a piece of string? 14 minutes, friends, determines eternity. If salvation doesn't happen here, it cannot happen there. Yeah. If salvation doesn't happen in the temporary, it cannot happen in the eternal. The moment we die, there's no more chance for salvation. We know what the Bible says. We're never going to die. We're either going to live here or we're going to live there. Either with God or without God. Either heaven or hell. We don't like to speak those languages. We don't like to hear it because it forces us to make a decision. But the reality is we've got 14 minutes to make it. So what does that mean? Life is short. Realize there's an eternity. And in this short life, we're busy preparing for it. Don't waste it. Don't waste it. John Piper writes a book, Don't Waste Your Life. Let's don't waste it, friends. So how do we make the Lord our dwelling place? Salvation. How do we do that? Firstly, I'm going to tell you what we believe of salvation, and I'm going to keep it as simple and elementary as possible. If you've got your Bibles here, you can turn to Romans 3. I'm just going to go from scripture to scripture, and it'll help you. It'll even help you to explain salvation to somebody. So first of all, realize that we are not automatically in right standing with God. Where do I get that? Romans 3 verse 10. There's no one righteous, not even one. So if you're like me, you grew up Afrikaans, and I learned the word righteousness or righteous later on in life. It just means this right standing with God. I'm not in right standing with God. I'm not born that way. You know, if I stay in a garage, am I going to turn into a car? No. If I grew up in a Christian, no, it's going to make me a Christian. No. As ek deur die kassasie klas gegaan het en ek het my wynlisensie gekry op die einde van die dag, of ek het my eksamen gepas, is ek 'n Christen? No. It's not about church. Guys, I'm not going after churches. I'm going after us believing the Bible. That's what I'm after. Beautiful Eugene. We can't follow systems, you know? We've got to follow the Bible. There's no one righteous, not even one. So why am I not in right standing with God? Why am I not righteous? Verse 23 of Romans 3. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Amen. All of us have sinned. All of us. We're born into a sinful world, friends. So what is the answer? What is the answer to that? Romans 5 verse 8, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died. Not when I became generous, not when I became a good person, not when I became loving and kind. No, when I was a sinner, down and out in a pub, not knowing where I am, that's where Jesus saved me, and Jesus actually paid the price for me. Make sense? While I was still a sinner. So why did Jesus need to die? Because Romans 6 verse 23. You're staying with me, friends? Yeah. Is this okay? Yeah, Romans 6 verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God. See that? The wages, my works, the payment for my works, death. But something I cannot work for, the gift of God, eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. I'm a sinful man. I cannot save myself. It's Jesus plus nothing. Not Jesus plus my good works, not Jesus plus my good thoughts, not Jesus plus my money, not Jesus plus my generosity, not even Jesus plus baptism. Jesus plus nothing. So how does the Lord become my dwelling place? I know this now, but how can I be saved? So if you declare with your mouth, Romans 10 verse 9 and 10, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Say, Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Do you believe it in your heart?
Yes.
Do you declare it with your mouth?
Yes.
Friends, you are saved.
Amen.
It's not complicated. If you believe it in your heart and you can say it with your mouth, you declare it with your mouth, you're saved.
Amen.
Okay? Not complicated. For it's with your heart that you believe and are justified. Justified means just as if I've never sinned. Jesus washes all my sin away. And may I be as bold as to say, bloodline stuff and all that stuff's washed away. Jesus saves completely. He doesn't do half a job. Hebrews 7 says he saves completely.
Yes.
Completely with all my junk. Washes it away. And it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and be saved. Romans 10 verse 13. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
Amen.
Everyone that calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, friends. So now I'm saved. I accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I'm on my way to heaven. There you go. No, I just don't want to get saved to get to heaven. I don't know about you, but I grew up every Friday night at youth. I gave my heart to Jesus every Friday night. And sometimes on Wednesdays and Tuesdays as well, because my dad was a pastor. And I had ample, I never understood salvation. You know what? Life is temporary. Salvation's eternal.
Beautiful.
Jesus saves completely. See, how does it work? Before I get there, let me just explain this. Now I'm saved. Why am I saved? John 14, verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the
Father,
except through me.
Amen.
I'm not saved to go to heaven. I'm saved to be in relationship with God, my Father.
Yeah.
Why did Moses have the Lord as his dwelling place? Because the Lord spoke to him in a burning bush. He knew his Father. He knew the Lord. Friends, you and I have a relationship, can have a relationship with God, our Father here on earth. I don't have to come to Eugene for prayer. I don't have to go to Dennis for prayer. I don't have to go to my life group leader because he's got a hotline to God the Father. No, I profess with my mouth I'm saved. I've got a hotline with God my Father like you've got a hotline. Direct access. The curtain has been broken. Split in two. We've got direct access to God the Father. Do we pray for people? Yes, we do. Do we help one another? Yes, we do. What's our first source? God my Father. That's why I'm saved.
Beautiful.
God my Father. So the destination of Christianity is the Father. The Father is our dwelling place. We'll end up in heaven, but he's our dwelling place. Salvation is eternal, but this life is temporal. John 10, 28 and 29, I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. Say, greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. The day you believe that, no sin, no nothing can snatch you out of his hand. Salvation is eternal, friends. Get it in our hearts. And in your booklet, there's explanations. I have been saved. I am being saved. I will be saved. We're not going to look at all of that. You can do the higher grade study. But in simple terms, you are saved. So there is something like, I have been saved. That's the day you initially accepted Christ. That determines the day that you die. Can you raise yourself from the dead? I can't. So Jesus saves me, all Jesus. Jesus raises me from the dead, all Jesus. But you're in the middle, me and Jesus. It's not just all Jesus. I also got a part to play. I have to receive salvation. And because I received salvation, the day I die, I don't have to fear death. I will open my eyes with Jesus. Jesus said to the guy on the cross, he didn't have time to repent or ask forgiveness to anybody or baptized or nothing. He said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Today. Just call on the name of the Lord and you will be saved. So how does this middle section work? And I'm finishing the salvation part with this. Galatians 5. Remember this verse. Learn this verse. It says this: it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. So don't be yoked again by don't become a slave again. And hang on to those things that you hung on to before you got saved. See what it says there? It says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free, all Christ, all Jesus. Then he says, stand firm. Oh, jeez. Do I have to do something? Yes, Eugene, you've got to stand firm. Got to stand firm. That's my job. So, and do not let myself be burdened again. So now I get saved and I'm an alcoholic. Now I get saved and I'm a porn addict. Now I get saved and I'm in sin. Now I'm getting saved. But sometimes Jesus delivers me like that.
Yes.
But salvation is one thing. And now I walk this road and I continually feel like I bend to the left. I want to bend back. Then it's my duty to stand. How do I stand? Guys, you're going to laugh at this picture. It's just a simple picture. Are we on, Rex? It's a simple picture. This is how I understand how to stand. I'm speaking about this middle part, hey, guys? This middle section of not getting yoked again. So it says, it is for freedom that Christ has set you free. So if I take my freedom, let's just get the right color, yeah? Let me see. If I say, okay, I'm free now. Now I act out of my freedom. So I do this. See that? Take my freedom. Clint spoke about those boards. Go and take a picture of those boards. It's going to help you with this. So if I take my freedom and I act out of my freedom, then I go two ways, one of two ways, or both ways. I go licentious. Can you read my handwriting? Licentious, which means Jesus paid it all. I can still do drugs. I can still do everything I did in the past. I can live however I want to. I can speak however I want to. I can gossip. That's licentious. If I go licentious, I don't understand the gospel. I don't understand God's grace. So I don't go licentious. The other thing, or I go law. I do devotions every morning. I read my Bible every morning. If I miss a morning, I beat myself to the pulp. I have to read through the Bible in a year. I have to do this. I've got the Ten Commandments. Oh, goodness, I've broken one commandment. Then I learn there's another 690. I know there's another 700. And then it puts me back into bondage. You see, if I go licentious, it gets me into trouble. When I go into law, it gets me into bondage. Why? Because it's about me. It's about It's about I, and I end up with regret. Sure.
Beautiful, Eugene.
Me, mine, I, regret. So what do I do? What do I do with this old life that I'm battling with? Because I've got to stand firm, remember? This is it. I put my freedom under my faith. Let's draw it a little bit nicer. OCD, my lovey. Put my freedom under my faith. What does that mean? That's where that board comes in. Yeah? There's a scale. So let's just do that quickly. There's a scale. And this is called grace. And this is called obedience. If I go all grace, the scale goes that way. If I go all obedience, the scale goes that way. Okay? Grace, licentious. Obedience, law. I've got to keep these two in tension. How do I do that? Grace says, I am accepted. Obedience says, therefore I obey. Father, you loved me so much that you gave. I want to give.
Beautiful.
Jesus, you came to serve. I want to serve. Jesus, you taught me how to pray. I want to pray. So I keep the balance. Not rocket science, friends. It's actually a burden lifting off me. Just the tension of grace and obedience. I keep that. And when I keep this tension between grace and obedience, friends, and my faith flows into my actions. I told you you're going to laugh. Why? Because my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Jesus came to lift those off our shoulders, friends. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. I summarize in closing this section. Life is short. Eternity is long. We've only got 14 minutes and 40 seconds. Life is temporary. Salvation is eternal. Play your part. Live in grace and obedience. You want me to carry on with baptism, Clint? I'm not going to take a break. Okay. You okay? Is this all right, guys? It's simple, eh? But it's not watered down. It's the truth. The truth. Okay, water baptism, believer's baptism as we know that. So we've got two sacraments that we celebrate in 3CI. It's instituted by Jesus. The first one is communion. You will find that we don't do every Sunday, we do communion in church. Why? Because 1 Corinthians 11 says this, verse 23 and 26. Jesus took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is broken for you, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper. So they broke the bread. So when we eat at home, what do? We just thought we eat and we say grace. We're breaking bread, friends. Every time you eat, you celebrate Jesus. Every time, it's not just a prayer. Dankie, Hemelse Vader, vir die kos. Thank you for the food. Blessed to our bodies, Jesus' name, amen. No, it's not that. Or bless the hands, we prepared it. Yeah, it's nothing wrong with that. Why don't we just stop for a second and say, Jesus, thank you for your body broken for us. We do communion as often as we can in 3CI, but don't wait for 3CI. Just go and do it at home. Do it in life groups. And it says this, this is my body. He took the cup after the supper. They ate together. After the supper, he took the cup and saying, this is my cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. So that's the one sacrament. The other sacrament's baptism, water baptism, believer's baptism, as we know it. I'll be finished in 3 minutes. Therefore, Matthew 28:19. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And then it comes with a promise. And surely I'm with you always to the very end. So we get baptized, we just obey. Why? I'll be with you always. It's just a commandment, friends. Jesus doesn't make suggestions, eh? So the first one reminds us of Jesus, his death, his resurrection, the first sacrament. The second sacrament reminds us of Jesus' work in my life. The Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, it's all working in me. He's busy with me. That's the sign of baptism. Why do I get baptized? Well, when I get baptized, it's Matthew 28:19. It's obedience. It's a display of God's work in my life, number one. Number two, when I get baptized, it's a public declaration of my faith.
Amen.
So I think of three pictures. Firstly, you can go and read it. We're not going to read it. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3 and 4. It's a picture of, it's a reminder of Jesus dying and he rose from the dead. Point number one. That's picture number one. Picture number two, when I get baptized, it's a picture of Romans 6 verse 4. I died with Christ, laid myself down, and I am rising with Christ. You see, baptism doesn't save me, and communion doesn't save me, but it points to Jesus. His work that he's already done in my life. And then thirdly, one day when I die, I will rise with Christ.
Amen.
He will take me out of the dead again. So when we get baptized, it's full submersion. Matthew 3, verse 16 to 17. It's like when Jesus got baptized, he came up out of the water and the Holy Spirit came on him and there was a voice from heaven. This is my son, identity, whom I love, affection, in him I'm well pleased, affirmation. So when you get baptized, it's identity, it's affection, it's affirmation.
Beautiful,
eh? Lastly, who should get baptized? Acts 2 verse 41. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number daily. If you accepted Jesus Christ, just get baptized. So when do we baptize people? Close with this. If you've never been baptized, we'll baptize you. Infant baptism's not in the Bible. We'll baptize you. If you walked away from Christ as a prodigal and you came back after a long time, we'll baptize you. And when you got baptized the first time under manipulation, you didn't know what you were doing, we'll baptize you. You see, Jesus got baptized once, and that's the ideal, but the Bible's not prescriptive. But what we're going to do, we're going to make sure that you understand it's not baptism that saves us. It's Jesus that saves us. So every time we sin, we don't come and get baptized to get rid of our stuff. Right? So God bless you, friends. Life is short. Life is temporary. Eternity is long. Salvation is eternal. Play your part. Live in grace. Get baptized. It's worth it. Make the Lord your dwelling place. God bless you.
Amen.